This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And now for our next story, civil society and NGOs are disappointed by the government's decision to put the Council of Eminent Persons report under the Official Secrets Act. The CIJ, or the Centre for Independent Journalism, is calling for a review of the OSA and an introduction of a Freedom of Information Act. Sonia Randhawa, its executive director, said the OSA should only be used in clear, narrow contexts, specifically with documents concerning national security, defence and international relations.
And separately, Cynthia Gabriel of C4, or the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, said that this move shows that the Pakatan government lack of transparency when it comes to issues of public interest, adding that while parts of the CEP report likely have sensitive issues regarding, for example, race, for example, the economy, the government should at least reveal recommendations of the Institutional Reforms Committee.
Transparency International Malaysia President Akbar Sattar said the public had the right to know the truth and that the OSA should only be used for reports with potential repercussions on national security.
There's a part of me that feels as if this entire experience reflects how many people feel about the government. When right after GE14, there was elation, there was a sense of everything's going to change now. And a year on, we are seeing some changes, but we're also seeing lots of compromises. We're also seeing lots of things that we don't understand why it's happening, or we're getting answers that we're not happy with. And I think it's similar. You know, when the CEP was announced, everyone was like, ooh, the Council of Elders, all these Lord of the Rings jokes. But, you know, that also came up with a very real sense of, hey, you know, the adults are back and they're going to fix this issue.
Yeah.
And now that we're so many months on from that, we're looking at it and going, okay, well, what now? What did you find? What exactly is going to happen?
Yeah, it really does seem like they're dragging their feet on a lot of these things. I think in this instance, Deputy Law Minister Hanifah Maidin said that, well, we're not totally against the OSA and we are angry at the formal abuse of it. But now we want to use it to protect confidentiality and sensitive info. This is the difference between us and the previous government. So the whole tone here is that, well, you can trust us. We're the good guys, right? But, you know, I don't think that's true. You know, we still have to have a structure and a system that prevents abuse of laws like this.
Well, I mean, you might be the good guys. It doesn't mean that I don't want to check on you sometimes.
Yeah.
Fine, if you don't want to reveal sensitive information, if you don't want to make, I don't know, what could be a 100, 200-page report, I don't know. You know, if you don't want to make that public, that's all well and good. But to say then that nothing, you know, not a summary, not the recommendations, that those things aren't going to be made public, I feel, you know, speaks to, don't give us KPIs. Don't expect anything. We're not telling you anything to expect. The report is done. Just trust us. We'll take it from here. And that's a pretty tough line to toe, I think. But let us know if you agree. Do you think that it's perfectly all right that the Council of Eminent Persons report is not ever going to be made public? Do you trust the government to take the recommendations, implement it, do everything well? Or would you rather know some of that information? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
After this, we'll be speaking to Cynthia Gabriel of C4 about this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are talking about the government's decision to keep the Council of Eminent Persons report under the OSA. We're joined now by Cynthia Gabriel, Director of the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, or C4. Cynthia, talk us through the specific functions of the OSA. When the government says that any document that could affect national security can be placed under the Act, what does that mean exactly?
Okay, I think it's important to start with the Official Secrets Act. It was enacted in 1972, so it's about 50 years that the OSA has been around in government. So it is a very powerful act, and it is particularly powerful within the public sector that information relating to the administration of the state, which is any level of government, whether it's federal, state or local, is off limits to the public. And there's an agent in every government department that is actually tasked to put that chop on, the sulit chop and the confidential chop. So public generally have no access to this information. So it's a very far-reaching act, which is what we have the biggest problem for. The main problems are these. It has very vaguely defined definitions. It has very strict liability offences, and the extensive enforcement powers of actually violating the OSA are extremely serious, which includes jail terms and so on, even though you cannot actually prove criminal intent in judicial matters. So to add on to that, the problem with the OSA is also that it's so far-reaching, it doesn't have a harm test, you know, to actually see whether the document that is being requested or that's being asked would actually hurt public interest. And it doesn't also look at exceptions for public interest cases in which public needs to know, for example, a highway that's being built next to a condensed, tight, packed neighborhood. So the residents would want to have information of something like that. That's nothing to do with national security. But even things like toll agreements, contracts, any kind of dealings that have relations with the government are all kept under the OSA. So it's a really very far-reaching law. And it's now becoming a bigger subject of discussion because one of the things that Pakatan promised to do before winning the elections within the manifesto is to actually review the OSA and introduce a freedom of information law.
Right, but there's clearly been a change of tune here, right, with the government saying, of course we need the OSA, most other countries have it as well. But obviously there is much more that they can and should do to better define the law.
Yes, so it's been very conveniently abused over the years. Even minutes of municipal council meetings, for example, let alone the bigger documents like we're talking about now, the CEP report. So definitely the government can do much more to release and to review again what kinds of information really, really need to be kept secret and what actually has to now take a complete paradigm shift that in this digital age especially, we actually need to move towards more open data, more open government type of initiatives where government voluntarily also shares information and that there should be a law in which the public can request for specific information to be made available to them. Around the world, it has always been known that the most valuable government asset is actually protected information because you don't actually have to share data and details with people. And the more you share, the more the public will be empowered, the more the public will ask questions, the more the public will be critical of certain public policies. But that's what we want, you know, an empowered citizenry. That's what Pakatan should actually be embracing, Malaysian citizens that are more concerned about public policy.
Do you know what might be contained in the report?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have had no privilege of looking at the whole report. But what I can tell you is, as I was a member of the 1MDB investigation committee, which was one of the committees under the CEP, we had to submit our report to the CEP. So what I do know is that the CEP had compiled the 1MDB investigation report. It had compiled the Institution Reform Committee report and its own main body of concerns in which it had done hundreds of interviews with many different interested parties on looking at reforms, institutional reforms, economic reforms. And as in the case of 1MDB, it was action steps to actually solve the scandal and prevent future ones from happening. So I do know that these are the three components that went into the report.
And you've suggested that the government should perhaps reveal certain portions of the report at the very least. Talk to us about which areas you think should be made public.
What I'm actually suggesting is that the recommendations of the Institution Reform Committee ought to be made public immediately because there is nothing sensitive or there is nothing very worrying about anything. It is a set of important public policy reforms that can and must take Malaysia forward. So it is interesting to actually have debates over these, you know, what would be viable for Malaysia in the short term and in the long term, and what it would mean for Malaysia to actually look at better institutional governance, what it would mean for Malaysia to actually have better governance reforms in place. So I think there's some things about this report that must be released immediately. Also because stakeholder information was very widely sought. And now people want to know what was actually reported, whether whatever they offered as proposals were actually taken in by the government and so on and so forth. So in a healthy democracy, this would be very important. And I think what Pakatan Harapan has managed to facilitate since May the 9th, and to their credit, is also an opening up of the media to actually start talking about more sensitive political issues, to interview broad spectrums of people to actually provide their views and their feedback. So this would be another important step forward for Pakatan Harapan's drive towards better media space to talk about things and so on. But it really is quite a terrible disappointment and setback that the entire report is actually off limits.
Are members of the public allowed to legally challenge whatever the government declares to be an official secret?
I think if it has anyone challenged the OSA, yes. At that time, when the 1MDB report was mired with so much secrecy and it was actually classified as an official secret, Azmin Ali, the former Menteri Besar of Selangor, had actually taken up the challenge in court. And of course, he lost the case at the time to say that he actually had no mandate or jurisdiction to actually represent the people to ask for that report to be declassified. So it's very interesting actually to look at some legal case studies in which the OSA actually does not allow for much space for judicial review and for space in which it could be challenged. And the enforcement is really tight. You know, I mean, like you have massive jail sentences that can be placed on you and so on. So you've had high-profile politicians, journalists. And I think journalists are a big group of people who actually require information to write about stories and all. So if the information is confidential or secret and you expose them, then you're actually liable to being charged as well. And there are several journalists who have also been in the crossfires with the OSA.
And finally, Cynthia, you spoke earlier about the need to introduce the Freedom of Information Act. Would this be the best mechanism for the public to seek information in a formal, transparent way?
Well, yes, because if you look at Pakatan Rakyat before and Pakatan Harapan now, the two states that they actually ran and administered for 10 years before taking over federal power, which was Penang and Selangor, have enacted successful freedom of information laws. And this is where Selangorians and Penangites were at an advantage where they could actually request for information on various projects that were controversial, which were sensitive, and which were very important for public to have access to particular types of information, whether it's a big infrastructure project or some big roadworks that was happening around their neighborhood or anything else that concerned the public right to know. Even the government-linked companies in the state, for example, there was mechanisms to actually request, to write in, to request for information. So if Pakatan Harapan had done this at the state level, now surely there must be natural expectations of us, the public, that they would also hold a similar commitment to do it at the federal level. Now, it may be very well that the review of the OSA will be needed to be done first, and the Freedom of Information Law must come in right after and may need to be sitting next to each other and deciding what information should be made public, what should still be kept secret and all that. But that discussion is what needs to take place now, that we do need an access to information framework and we must have it urgently, because this is the best tool that the public has to actually keep the government to account. And information is power.
Cynthia, always good to have you with us. That was Cynthia Gabriel, director of C4, or the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. We have received some thoughts about this story, but you can keep them coming. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Yeah, and I guess the question here is really, how do you feel about the fact that we aren't going to be seeing this information, right? We're not going to be seeing the culmination of what is presumably a lot of work, a lot of research, a lot of conversations, and we're not even going to be seeing the recommendations, except in some policy form, if we do, right? So That's what we want to hear about. Let us know what you think. We've got this from Kalai, who says, sadly, the stumbling block to change in New Malaysia is Tun Dr. Mahathir himself.
Oof.
Yeah, and similarly, Pravin is saying, I can taste the tears of Pakatan Harapan supporters. So some rather strong messages coming through. There's also Toby, who says, I'm not a fan of the OSA. I'm of the belief that it should be replaced by a Freedom of Information Act. The OSA was relevant during war times, but we're not at war now. We, the people, are stakeholders. I think the content of the CEP should be made public.
I agree mostly, but I think there is still some relevance to some form of an OSA, especially when it comes to things relating to national security. I think the CIJ and even Transparency International Malaysia cited a few reasons why, right? Like national security, defense, and international relations. I think there's still some value there.
Yeah, I think the important point to take away, though, is that counterpoint of the Freedom of Information Act is important, because you can't just have one thing that then hoards all the information that you just want to toss under there and nobody can question it, right? I mean, that essentially seems to be the case, that there isn't a formal mechanism, even if I did want to interrogate why.
Yeah.
Even if you do want to just ask a very simple question, why can't I access this? There is no kind of pathway for you.
Yeah. And I think because in this case, it's really like, oh, why do you want to keep it a secret? Just because I want to. And that shouldn't be the rule and the name of the game for the government.
Raz says, this idea of setting up a CEP is an idea of one man. No other country has a council of non-elected people who have so much power to influence the economic direction of a country. It would be foolish for any citizen to allow the government so much control on information that may eventually affect them. What is so secret about the CEP report? The four people in the CEP are not angels that are God sent.
And that's a fair point, though. I think on the note, you know, on the CEP and other countries not really having something like this, when we spoke to analysts in the past, they have said that, you know, other countries do have commissions, councils, committees just like this, where not necessarily high powered, where they do are able to chime in on a lot of the policies that that the government wants to plan.
I do have to say, I wonder how much of this also has to do with the fact that we are a classically Asian society. Mm-hmm. So in the sense that when you hoist a bunch of elders, we are going to say, oh, we should listen to our elders. We should respect our elders. What they say is going to be wise. You know, what they say is going to be inherently wise, inherently well-informed. And while I'm not doubting the qualifications of the people who sat on the CEP, I do think it's very valid to say what then makes them the people to, at this point, pretty much unilaterally decide. Because we don't even get the opportunity to say, eh? You know, just that simple question of, hey?
Maybe the government still has some baggage about letting go of the idea and perception that they are our quote-unquote parents, right? We have to head to the news in the meantime. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.